Welcome to our discussion segment on the history of social media. I'm John Streeter.
And I'm Joe Parker.
Let's get started.
John, how much time did you waste today on social media?
Not much. I don't say this as a brag, but I don't spend a whole lot of time on social. I mainly just to see, you know, friends and family, if they post any pictures on Facebook or Instagram, maybe troll a couple politicians on Twitter and interact with our awesome 15-minute history audience.
Absolutely.
If you guys send us messages.
Well, you're a better man for it. I've actually had to develop a habit not to open my phone in the morning right when I get up because
Oh, yeah?
I can just lay there and scroll through stuff. Sometimes it's not always social, though. It's just news or app stuff or
whatever else. If you asked me how much time I wasted on news apps or news sites, the number would be considerably, the amount of time would be considerably higher. I teach government and political news is kind
Everybody
of part of my job.
Everybody has
their
excuses, right?
That's my excuse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At least I'm not taking selfies and posting them all over the internet.
Well,
no
why
one
not?
Would, no one would want to see those. The shine off my head would blind most people.
Yeah, I agree. That's an astute observation, John. In fact, it's kind of blinding now.
I know.
Do you
I'm
mind
sorry.
If I have a break to
I'm
go
sorry.
Grab some sunglasses?
I was going to say, go get your sunglasses. And everyone should check out the photo on our 15-Minute History website of me in a World War I trench. And you can just see my head peeking up over the trench. And literally, it was a beautiful day in France and the sun glinting off of it. It's like a steel helmet.
Well, the important thing is you keep seeing your shadow, so we're still safe.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, 6 more weeks without a world war. So this is a Redux episode. This was your first ever episode for 15-Minute History,
it
right?
It was. It was time to redo it.
A couple things have happened in social media for the last 4 years.
Yeah, we've had an emergence of a whole new channel. We've, well, probably several, but one primary one. We've had one that's been purchased and it's being gutted right now.
Yeah, like a fish.
And
my
goodness. We'll see how that goes. And quite frankly, and we've talked about this in the past, but when we first started this podcast, our audio quality was not the best. So we're trying to go back and think about what were some popular episodes at the time.
Yeah.
And when we published this, it was extremely popular. So
yeah.
We just wanted
to redo
it.
A credit to you, Joe.
Yeah.
So I want to start with a question about just kind of an overview. For our audience who's not as familiar with social media, what would you say are the top three platforms, either here in the United States or around the world, in terms of users and then in terms of influence on our society?
So to answer that question, I really have to single it out by age group.
Okay.
So older Gen Xers, boomers, as they're called now,
yeah,
they're more of a Facebook crowd. So okay. You're thinking about the first network that was extremely popular.
What about MySpace?
Yeah. Well, that was popular too for a while. You're right. You're right. I stand corrected. For that age group, that's more theirs, kind of also bleeding over into Instagram as well.
Is it because it's more visual, more photos and things like that?
It's just easy to use.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
For Gen Zers and millennials, it's going to be Snapchat. It's going to be TikTok.
Ugh, really?
Yeah. So it really depends. There are many social networks out there.
Right.
We only hear about a few of them because that's all we have time for. But some of the smaller ones, don't ask me to name any because there's so many. It becomes more of like a club. Like
mm-hmm.
If you're on this, then you have a specific purpose for being there.
What about Truth Social?
Truth Social, people have a purpose for being there. Just like
how's it doing relative to the bigger ones?
One of the things that Truth Social excels in is keeping bots off of the platform.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they've been doing a great job of that.
Oh, interesting.
Versus Twitter, which Elon has expressed some major concerns, and he's slowly starting to get those out.
Yeah.
In fact, last week there was a major update where he actually tweeted out saying, you may notice your followers are down. That's because we're getting rid of millions of bots.
Hmm.
It's really interesting to watch him kind of trim the tree a bit. Yeah.
And what about in terms of levels of influence on our society?
Again, depends by age group.
Still? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Baby boomers are not on TikTok. They are, but a small percentage
of
them.
I'm just picturing baby boomers dancing on TikTok.
Some of them do. And some of them do. And that's fine, but that's not a majority of the users. So when we're thinking about who's using that channel, yeah, there's some of them, but that's not their preference. TikTok is obviously having a major influence on it, and TikTok is kind of the child of Vine. Vine failed.
I remember Vine.
Yeah.
Twitter buy it and then just like nuke it and get rid of it?
I don't know, actually.
I'm pretty sure Twitter actually owns Vine.
No, Vine is gone.
No, I mean they own like the name and the software. I
don't know why they would, because the reason why Vine failed is because the content was too short for any ads. TikTok answered that by having a longer option to record and track your every move, your every keystroke. And that's why I'm sure some people are like, when they heard the episode, were wondering, why didn't you talk about TikTok? I don't want to give TikTok any press. It's been proven to be a spy app. This is not a conspiracy. If you work for Congress or if you work for
several state governments.
Yeah. If you work in any of those, if you work on a federal campaign or a state campaign, it's actually you're not allowed to have the app on your phone.
Hmm.
I think the larger effect on society is not specific to a channel. I think it's social media as a whole. The challenge that we've encountered with social media is because now it is such an integral part of our society, it has disrupted, in a bad way, our ability to communicate.
Mm.
It's done the exact opposite. The ability to stay connected and communicate is there, but the communications are hollow. They're not as important. And I'm not saying that for every post, but overall, what we've seen is the effects of social media have gone beyond the online space. It has affected relationships outside of the mm-hmm. internet, outside of these sites. It's affected our ability to find common ground. So I have a lot of colleagues who have said that Twitter's going to die. It absolutely will not. I'll put cash on that. It's going to change for sure. But Twitter was an example. I don't want to say is anymore, but was an example of kind of those short bursts of information, as I talked about in the podcast. You could say something that was a snide remark or comment, and I'm not singling out a political party or a person. This happened everywhere and still happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk away and you get a ton of likes. Instead of, John, if you and I are having a conversation and I make a snide comment to you, you would
never do that.
No, of course not. Of course not. You would never be like, thumbs up. You know, thanks, Joe. That was great. And then I leave and I feel
I might. Depends on how good the comment was.
True. Yeah, we do have some awesome zings.
We do.
Yeah, okay. That aside, it would be a conversation where you're like, hey, I didn't appreciate that, or that was something.
It hurt my feelings, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. It was inappropriate, or however you want to say it.
Yeah.
That's a normal part of conversation. And unfortunately, you can say anything on any social site. You're going to get a view, you're going to get a like, or a comment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a validation.
Hmm.
And so you could say things like the earth is flat. You could say anything and people would give it a thumbs up. You're like, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm obviously right. Well, no, you're not. And we've now lost this opportunity to receive correction. And when the correction comes, it's from people we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to accept it. So we get more angry and we post again. And so the people who agree with our post, like our post, and we create these little bubbles of people who agree with you or me.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, we're not hearing the other side because their ability to communicate has been hindered as well. So it's a feedback loop for sure, and very little good comes from it. We may leave the table of ideas with different ideas, but I'm not going to stop you from sharing yours.
Mm.
So why do you want to stop me from sharing mine? Well, it's, you know, however, whatever the reason.
Whatever emotional appeal they bring to it after that.
And so it's actually beyond political. It's the act of having a conversation with someone and either agreeing or not and being willing to have your mind change. So, John, a great example of this is when we talked to Dominic Selwood, both in the summer and in late summer.
Yep.
When we first talked to him about his book, Anatomy of a Nation.
Which you should all go buy.
Go buy that book. It's amazing. Both in the book and in the conversation with him, he identified specific things that I have been wrong about.
Mm.
When he was sharing them specifically on our call, after we were done talking to him, I went back and I even looked back journal entries I've made. And I realized I've been wrong.
Mm.
I was wrong about these things. That doesn't make me less of a person. And it doesn't make him right. It makes him correct.
Yeah.
It's that there's a difference. I would rather be...
What is that difference? Explore that for a second.
So if we're correct, then we're seeking out something that is a fact, right? It doesn't have anything to do with how I feel about it. If I'm trying to be right, that's completely different. It's not about the conversation. It's about me.
And interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that. I'd never heard that distinction ever made before.
So he was correct,
yeah,
and I was incorrect. And so being able to accept that correction is not only, I hope, a good thing,
mm-hmm,
but also it was a growth thing.
Yeah.
I didn't stay in the same place.
And he didn't correct us, I guess, us in a way that was unkind or like berating, like so much of that occurs. I mean, there's plenty of people who are factually right on Twitter or factually correct on Twitter who are just jerks about it.
Oh, totally.
And that's, again, that's enabled by the fact that there's no immediate feedback. We didn't see that in our conversation with someone.
Not at all.
You and I haven't seen that in our conversations with each other over the last 5 years about the various, you know, topics that we've both been right or wrong about.
When we had those calls, it wasn't like, oh my gosh. I think I may have said a couple of times, wow, I was wrong. But he was just sharing history.
You're used to being wrong, aren't you?
Well, to be honest, not really, but no, I'm just kidding. So there is a reality there in the ability to converse, which has been,
yeah,
which has de-evolved over the,
it really
last,
has.
Over the last 15
That's
years.
So true. All right, LinkedIn. I think I have a LinkedIn account, but I haven't logged in probably 15 years. Tell us a little about that one. Because as someone who's more in the professional atmosphere,
sure,
rather than the academic sphere,
so its purpose is to connect people who are professionals.
Yeah.
All right. So It's a great platform. I don't really have any. I don't have any complaints about it.
It's kind of clunky, isn't it? Not anymore.
No, it's great.
Yeah,
they also have a great service called LinkedIn Learning, which is a lot of great modules and options.
Okay,
too. Yeah.
I need to educate myself on this.
Yeah, it's a great platform. I mean, every social media channel is subject to silliness, right?
Oh, no.
So what you see on LinkedIn is you see helpful information, poignant content, helping you solve problems. Like in search engine optimization, you'll see a lot of great content posted about, hey, if you encounter this, try this. If you do this, try this. Or if you're creating a strategy, here are some examples. So that type of content is awesome. There's a lot of video content on there. There's a lot of personal stories related to work, which are very helpful. But then there's this like group of
trolls.
No. It's people try to be inspirational.
Oh,
and it doesn't always work out.
Oh, boy.
Like there was one, it was kind of famous actually. There was a CEO on LinkedIn who had to fire a bunch of his employees. And it was a startup or whatever. He took a picture of himself with tears running down his face as the image to post with his status update. And in his status update, he gives the details of why he's crying. To LinkedIn's credit and the user's credit, he got lambasted. Because this was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like he didn't lose his job. So what are you talking about, dude? Like, you're just trying to get likes. And he doubled down. It was amazing. So that goes back to my comment earlier about taking correction.
Yeah.
And these were most of the comments were people being like, hey, maybe you should take this down.
Interesting.
Maybe yeah. So that's one example. One of my favorite ones that encapsulates a lot of those is it's a joke post that's been around for a while. It says, yesterday I was walking to an interview. There was a starving dog on the road. I stopped to feed him and missed the interview. The next day, I got a call asking to come in and do the interview. I was surprised, but I went. Then the interviewer came in. He was the dog.
What?
It's like a karma post. It's like, you got to be good to people. You're not
okay.
Laughing at me. You don't think that's funny?
Okay, yeah.
If you read LinkedIn posts, you would think that's
okay,
funny.
Okay,
yeah.
that's fair.
It's hilarious. So you
like when my sister sends me 5,000 TikToks every week, and I'm like, okay, yeah, these are not funny.
TikTok is funny. It's entertaining.
Sometimes.
I've
not when Kyle sends us stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I had TikTok on my phone for a while.
So now that China knows your social security number?
It's gone now, but I had it on my phone for a while. It was very easy just to sit back and watch all the TikToks because some of them are really clever and hilarious. That's why it's so popular. But I always think of LinkedIn as the better option because there is a lot of good content on there. And it is helpful.
Yeah. So Joe, this season is about heroes. Who are some figures from recent history who have using social media, have done real good on social media? And I'm not talking about good for one political side or the other, so I'm not talking about Elon Musk or anyone like that.
Millions have been raised through people getting a Facebook page or a Facebook group where they're bringing to light a specific cause. There's been countless examples of that occurring. In that way, these social channels are a connector because you find like-minded people. I would not have known what an organization was doing. And I'm not talking about the posts that orgs put up sometimes where it's just like, look how awesome we are. But genuinely good work.
From companies.
From companies and organizations, whether nonprofit or for-profit, saying, hey, this is how we're spending our money. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you asked about this. What I don't want is, as a result of our discussion, our audience coming away and saying all social is bad. Like social in and of itself is bad. It's not.
So many things, it's how you use it.
Exactly. It's how you use it. So is it a connector? It can be, for sure. Can you have interactions on social that encourage quality conversation? Yes, but you have to choose to do that because it's not engineered to do that. If you are intentional about how you use it, and that intention has to include developing a connection that at some point you will care about, you'll be more inclined to have real conversations with individuals who become more real over time.
Hmm. Plus, we can interact with our audience. We've built a lot of the success of this podcast through social. Not that we're heroes or anything, but it does allow people who don't have millions of dollars to promote themselves and things like that. Allows us to get questions from you guys. We love to get those questions each and every week. Are there moments when you think social media or people acting through social media has actually shifted the course of history in positive or negative ways?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. When Russia invaded Ukraine, we were witness to some of the horrors that were inflicted on the Ukrainian people. Jets firing and dropping bombs
into
homes.
Random buildings.
Yeah, just random buildings, random homes. why? Those weren't military targets. Historically, those would have just been lost. You would have driven past the building a few months later and seen it blown out, and you were wondering, okay, well, battle probably happened there. Social affords the opportunity to see things happen in almost real time, sometimes exactly real time. So that brought a level of awareness to the invasion for those of us who are not there. That's an example. Did it shift the course of history? I think it changed the global narrative and brought global attention to a conflict that otherwise, without social and without even the internet, would not have been as prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Both on the, I mean, it would have been in the news, but news is distant. If I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see a live feed of a MiG drop a bomb on a house, I'm going to care a lot more about this conflict.
So I know this is not kind of like an inspirational or advice podcast or anything like that, but Joe, you understand social media because of your background in a way that I think a lot of people in media and in our public sphere really don't. Last time we talked about advice to parents, and you gave some really, really sound advice, but this time I'm wondering if you can give some advice to teenagers and people in their early 20s, people who psychologically their brains are kind of still developing and many of whom are addicted to social media. Can you speak to kind of how, when, or even if they should be using social media?
I don't want to speak to if they should be. That's their choice, and I want it to stay their choice. I'm trying to think about this from a history perspective, right? Because thinking about the history of social and its effect on our society, its effect has been very, very prominent. Taking it from society to the individual, try to see social media as an actual connector, not as an identity, because it's fake. When you see the majority of people on Instagram, they've been airbrushed. They've been molded to look a specific way. They're wearing things that have implants in them to make them look more shapely. I watched an Instagram account where a lot of helpful health content is shared. The creator shares a ton of great tips on how to stay healthy. Some of it I question. He had one recent post where he said, "This is how I start my day. I get up, I let the sun hit my face, and I go to the bathroom. Then I have some reverse osmosis water, and I drink some honey. And then I walk outside and ground myself to the earth in my bare feet."
Was this Joe Rogan?
No. He just keeps talking. And like he said, "I get my surfboard ready because I'm going to go out." And I read through the comments, and people are like, "Well, this seems attainable." So, I mean, you read that, and it's easy to be like, "Well, where did I screw up in life?"
Yeah.
I don't know that that's real. So it should not be your identity. And if it should not be your identity, then do not try to find your identity through it. Remember what it is. It's a place where people post either the worst of themselves or the best of themselves. It's a projection by people who show you what they want to be seen as or things that they wish they were. So I'm not saying don't use it. I'm not saying it's like this evil thing that's causing all the societal problems. I think some in the audience are saying, "Yeah, you are." No, I'm not. I promise. It is a vehicle that could cause problems and has as a result of its engineering. What causes you to post is what causes you to post again. So if you actively, intentionally decide to use it in a specific way, then that engineering won't have a strong effect.
So on that, Joe, kind of related question, how can we use social media positively? Whether we're, you know, a young person who's grown up in the social media age or an older person who's just getting onto Instagram or something like that, what are your thoughts on that?
Going back to the idea of creating connections, I think that you can support and uplift individuals on social. Some people go to social because they don't have anybody. They'll share posts and content because they don't have anybody to talk to. And this is something that they go to because this is their last resort before something terrible happens. So if you see that happen, you have an opportunity to uplift someone. That is an opportunity to help and serve. And I think help and serve is a key point. How can you employ these great connectors in a way that does serve and help? That's going to be different for each individual. But when I think about it, I think about the instance that I just described. But I also think about going back to organizations that are sharing great content and the stories of people who have been helped. Reshare that. Like, let more people know. Highlight these organizations in your feed, because the way that it works with each channel is that the more you like, the more you share, the more the content is shown, for good and bad. So that's a second way. So the first way is to uplift people individually. The second way is to, if you find content from organizations where it's serving others, helping people to pull them up again, that's a great way to share that content. I think the third way is also important. The third way is don't stop at social. There is a falsehood within social that happens in our brain. I'm going to use I statements, okay? Joe Parker will post about a specific thing that's going on that I care about. And I post about it and I walk away and I get that dopamine hit. I feel good about myself.
Are you talking about like something in your own life or an event?
No, like
outside?
I'll see an event and I think that's wrong.
Okay.
I'm going
right.
to post about it.
I didn't
it.
Know if you were talking about like I went to my kid's Christmas
yeah,
play
yeah,
or something
yeah, yeah.
like that.
No,
you're
no,
talking
no. It's,
about
it's more of like an injustice
Got
I
it.
Might see.
Okay.
And so if I post about a perceived injustice I see, I should not stop at the post because, yeah, it's bringing awareness, kind of. But if I'm really convicted about it, what are the organizations that are taking action and how can I support them? If I'm upset about the homeless problem in Indianapolis, is it enough for me to post about the homeless problem in Indianapolis? Or is it enough for me to post about the homeless problem and Wheeler Mission and then go down there and serve? That's the key thing. Social is a connector. It's a conversation facilitator, but it's not specifically an action. What actions can you take as a result of the connections you've made? That's the third way. So first way, uplift individuals. Second way, share the content that organizations provide that is doing that very thing. And three, don't stop at the social post. How can you really make an impact?
Don't just dump a bucket of icy water on yourself. Actually donate to an ALS prevention charity.
Yeah, dump the water on yourself.
Yeah.
And then donate.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right, Joe, before we wrap this up, let's give our audience kind of a sneak peek of what's happening as the holiday season gears up. Over the next 2 weeks, we are going to do a couple special episodes, Christmas-related. We're going to have a special guest coming in for a discussion that will go live on the day after Christmas, December 26th. Then we'll take our break, and then regular listeners will be very, very happy to hear our first episodes of 2023. We're going to ring in the new year with the third installment of our Best and Worst of History movies, so you guys can look forward to that. This year, I get to do the bad movies. Joe is doing the good movies, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Don't you think, Joe?
I sure do. It's going to be an interesting change of pace.
It is, yeah. So thank you all very much for joining us here on 15 Minute History for our discussion on the history of social media. I'm John Streeter.
And I'm Joe Parker.
Please leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help. And if you'd like to contribute as we work to make this podcast even better, go to 15minutehistorypodcast.org and click the support donate button. Thank you, and we will see you next week.